live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a woman in her 20s has been taken to Letterkenny University Hospital following a crash outside Donegal Town this morning. Gardaí are continuing to investigate the circumstances surrounding a weekend fire at a derelict council site in Letterkenny. There are urgent calls on the government to properly fund the Inishowen to Letterkenny bus service, and a Donegal deputy is warning that Uterus na Gaeltachta must be sanctioned more funding if it's to progress. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. First in news, a European Commission spokesperson says she hopes there will be light at the end of the Brexit tunnel this week. Talks are ongoing, aimed at hammering out a last-minute deal before the EU Council summit on Thursday. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
Brexit talks entered the so-called tunnel over the weekend, a highly secretive negotiation between the two sides. Commission spokesperson Mina Andreeva was asked if there's any light in that tunnel.
I'm really not a technician in light bulbs. Maybe it could be a flashing light, because sometimes it's stronger, sometimes it's less strong.
Taoiseach Simon Coveney, though, striking a slightly more optimistic tone today.
A deal is possible, and it's possible this month. May even be possible this week. But we're not there yet.
Meanwhile, in the UK, a speech from the Queen restarted the parliamentary term where all sides are still arguing over Brexit. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn says if a deal is struck, it should be put to the people.
The only legitimate way to sort Brexit now is to let the people decide with a final say.
While Boris Johnson hit back, saying Labour doesn't have a stable position on Brexit.
His policy on cake is neither having it nor eating it.
It's away from the theatrics in air-conditioned rooms in Brussels that the real talks are going on, though, and time is now desperately short to get a deal done this week before Thursday's summit.
A UK immigration tribunal has ruled people born in Northern Ireland are automatically British. Emma D'Souza from County Derry took legal action as an Irish citizen after her application for a residence card for her American husband was rejected in 2015. However, the UK Home Office rejected it on the grounds it considered her to be British. Ms D'Souza thinks that position runs contrary to the Good Friday Agreement, which gives people from Northern Ireland the right to identify as British, Irish or both. Emma says they'll appeal the decision.
We are certainly not going to go quietly into the night with this decision, a decision that really goes against the spirit and the purpose of the Good Friday Agreement. We think that there is a lot at stake here for everybody in Northern Ireland, and with that, we have to proceed to try and protect that right for all of us.
Gardaí are continuing to appeal for information after a woman in her 20s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital following a crash outside Donegal Town earlier today. The single vehicle collision happened on the bypass at around 10 o'clock this morning. Gardaí say the woman sustained minor injuries. The Cathaoirleach of the Letterkenny Municipal District is calling for better security measures and improvements to be made to the old council site in the town. Gardaí are continuing to investigate the circumstances surrounding a weekend fire at the site located on the Pierce Road, which broke out in the early hours of yesterday morning. The area, which was previously used by the council's road maintenance team, has been derelict for some time. Councillor John O'Donnell says it's an ideal location in the heart of the town that's fast becoming an eyesore and effectively going to waste.
After learning of this over the weekend, this morning, I will be calling on the council immediately to make this site secure and to ensure that this never happens again in the future, because I think that this particular site, it's of high amenity, and there's so much potential there that the council needs to start acting now and coming up with a plan to do something with this site, or to give the site to somebody that will do something to make sure that it's not seen as a place where people can go and carry out this type of behaviour.
Because as you mentioned, it is a site in the heart of the town that is effectively going to waste.
Yeah, it is indeed. Look, it's a landmark site, and I think that the council needs to be utilising that site now and doing something with it and streaming funding to make sure and get a project developed there as soon as possible. But I think in the short term, we certainly need to make the site secure now to make sure that this doesn't happen again what happened at the weekend.
There are urgent calls on the government to properly fund a regular and reliable transport service for Inishowen. As of today, a new operator has taken over most of the Inishowen to Letterkenny route after North West Busways announced that it was to cease its operation. However, some gaps in this service remain. People who regularly use this service are reportedly finding it difficult to access the service because the changes don't cater to some areas. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says public transport is virtually non-existent on the peninsula and communities deserve better.
I can't understand why they've asked another private operator to step in when they know that for the private operator they have to make a profit. Therefore, they won't cover all the stops and routes that were there previously, and people are going to lose out. You know, if this is a public service obligation route, they should just leave. If it's not Busairn or CIE, if it's Local Link, they should be given the full responsibility for the route instead of this patchwork hodgepodge that we have right now.
As you say, one of the reasons that they have withdrawn the service initially was in terms of the lack of people maybe using it, but that certainly doesn't seem to be the case when we do hear of the public outcry ongoing about it.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, we talk about climate change and we talk about all these government policies and we talk about people using public transport. For in order to be viable, you have to have buses that run 7 days a week, that run on times, that get people to work, get people to college in Letterkenny and vice versa. It has to run at the right times. It has to be a regular service that's reliable for the people, a true public transport system. But what we have in Inishowen is one where it is private for profit. Therefore, it will only be profitable routes, which is not a public service. You know, what I'm asking for, and only this, is that the people of Inishowen and Donegal would have the same access to services as people down the country, where we have Busairn routes, CIE routes, everywhere you turn. We don't have that in Inishowen. So if that's not going to be there, then resource Local Link.
Protesting farmers aren't ruling out returning to picket lines as part of the ongoing beef dispute. They clashed with representatives from Meat Industry Ireland earlier, stopping them attending a meeting of the Beef Task Force. Minister for Agriculture Michael Creed has condemned the scuffles which led to talks being postponed. Many of those protesting want all legal threats against farmers dropped. Dermot O'Brien from the Beef Plan Movement hopes there won't be much of a delay in getting the task force up and running.
At the minute, what we want to do is we want to sit down and negotiate everything with all the relevant parties. Mm. We want to see all the farm organisations around the table. Now, that didn't happen today, but we hope that it will happen going forward. We want Meat Industry Ireland to be there also. These are all stakeholders. They have to be held accountable, and we want progress for the Irish beef farmer and the beef industry. We don't want it to go into decline. We want progress and nothing less.
There are fears that recent vandalism to traffic lights in Letterkenny is leading to major safety issues for both pedestrians and motorists. It's understood that the lights at Glencar Road are currently taking up to 45 seconds to change before allowing pedestrians to cross safely. The delay is resulting in some pedestrians taking a chance by crossing the road during a gap in the traffic rather than waiting for the lights. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says it's consequently having a knock-on effect on traffic flow in the area, and it's something that needs to be addressed as a matter of urgency.
It's a very busy road on the Glencar Road across to the from Glencar Park to the spa shop there. So I put a question into the council asking that they examine the lights and see if the time that it takes to cross could be shortened, because we're taking about 45 seconds. Kids weren't waiting and they were taking their chances and running across the road. So I asked if that time could be shortened, and the reply I got that was on examination of the lights had actually been vandalised, and that's why the cycle was changed and the time shortened, and they just said that they were going to get the suppliers to look at it as soon as possible. And if you do it there, 45 seconds probably doesn't sound long, but it's actually a long time. It's a short wee bit of road across, and I've went up and done it a couple of times, and it's very, very tempting just to go on ahead. And as you say, then if you do that, the traffic then coming up, you've crossed, has to stop and wait.
A Donegal deputy is warning that Uttaris na Gaeltachta must be sanctioned more funding if it's to progress. As part of Budget 2020, the government increased the Uttaris funding pot by 1.6 million, but it's thought that this won't go far enough. In 2009, the Uttaris budget was 14 million euro compared to 9.5 million euro currently, while staffing levels have also been cut from 156 in 2008 to present day levels of 88. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says it's clear that they're expected to do more with less.
Of course, the government concentrate on areas outside the Gaeltacht through the IDA and Enterprise Ireland, and I have no difficulty with that, of course, but the Uttaris can ensure that they have a great return on their investment. They're able to attract industry and services into the most peripheral and rural parts of the country, but the Minister and the government don't recognise this.
Now, while you have described this increase as a welcome first step, I suppose when you do compare the staffing levels and the funding that they received over a decade ago, there is a drastic difference there.
Well, of course, the core current and capital budgets were 39.4 million in 2009. And in 2020, the funding will be only 20 million. That's a drastic reduction when one takes into consideration in inflation. And of course, the staffing level of Uttaris is also cut from a staff of 156 in 2008 to 88 presently. Of course, they're expected to do more for less, and that's an indication of the government's interest in the rural areas of the country, and I'm certainly not happy with that.
The Disclosures Tribunal has heard a Garda whistleblower felt like a sitting duck after making a protected disclosure about alleged wrongdoing in the fort. The tribunal has begun hearing evidence from Garda Nicholas Keogh, who raised concerns about the drugs unit in Athlone Garda Station. Shane Beattie reports.
Garda Nicholas Keogh was the first to give evidence when the Disclosures Tribunal resumed today. He made a protected disclosure in 2014 about the drugs unit in Athlone Garda Station and alleged interaction with a Garda A and a woman, Miss B, who Garda Keogh alleged in a Pulse entry was involved in drug dealing and had a weekly turnover of approximately €2,500. Garda Keogh claims he's been targeted since making the disclosure and was a sitting duck. The tribunal is solely focusing on 22 issues contained in his complaint to it. It heard he alleges he was under micro-supervision by three sergeants, his travel expenses were delayed and he was confined to desk duty. In a statement to the tribunal, Garda Keogh claimed then-Garda Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan contacted the Athlone District Officer about him in April 2015. Whether the tribunal will examine this allegation, which Noreen O'Sullivan told it is completely untrue and without foundation, will be decided on Wednesday. Shane Beattie, Dublin Castle.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny. Christmas Club now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with rugby, and Bundiaki's World Cup is over. The Irish centre has received a three-match ban today at a disciplinary hearing following his red card for a dangerous tackle in Saturday's Pool A1 over Samoa. World Rugby has released a statement in the last couple of hours saying that the Independent Judicial Committee has upheld the decision by referee Nick Berry. The committee says they came to their decision as there was direct contact with the player's left shoulder to the ball carrier's head, and they did not accept that there was a low degree of danger. The statement goes on to say that although the tackle occurred quickly, the player's tackle height was high, and it was accepted that Aki did not make a definitive attempt to change his height in order to avoid the ball carrier's head. Aki will therefore miss Ireland's quarter-final against New Zealand next Saturday, as well as the semi-final and the final should Ireland qualify. If Ireland do not qualify for these games, he will be out for his next club match or matches with Connacht in the Pro 14 on his return from international duty. Meanwhile, Johnny Sexton says being the underdogs at the weekend may work in their favour. Speaking to reporters this morning, the Out have said they have not peaked yet at the tournament, and that may stand to them.
I'm hoping that having lost the pool game that we've got that sort of quarterfinal performance out of our system that we've had in other years. The way we played against Japan is probably very similar to the way we played against Wales and Argentina over the last two quarterfinals. There are differences that we're not favourites going into this quarterfinal like we were in the last two. So we're building nicely. We haven't sort of hit our best performance yet. And like I said, we need to get close to that to get the right result on Saturday.
To soccer, the Republic of Ireland squad is trained at tomorrow's match venue in Geneva as preparations continue for the crucial Euro 2020 qualifier against Switzerland. Mick McCarthy's side's at top of Group D, level in points with Denmark, and no, they have to win one of their last two games to make next summer's tournament. David McGoldrick has failed to recover from the groin injury which kept him out of the trip to Tbilisi, so 19-year-old Aaron Connolly could be in line to start just days after his senior debut. Captain Seamus Coleman knows Ireland's destiny remains in their own hands.
Of course, yeah, look, two games and we'll go out there full of confidence in them two games and we'll see what they bring.
England, meanwhile, can guarantee their qualification tonight with two games to go. Gareth Southgate's side can advance with an away win over Bulgaria if Kosovo don't beat Montenegro. To Gaelic games, Donegal Intermediate champion St Nolls will play Antrim winners Niamh Seamus of Aldergrove in the quarterfinals of the Ulster Club Championship. The Mount Charlotte side lifted the Cathal McLaughlin Cup on Sunday, beating Clonmacnoise 110 to 10 points. Nolls captain Stephen Griffin says previous hurt was behind this year's success.
You really don't understand how much it means to us. As I said in my speech, some of us have been in five finals, a lot of us in four. So, that there was a big, big hurt in us, and I don't think people seen that from the outside this year. The hurt, when there was mention of intermediate winners, we probably weren't up there in the top two or three, and it probably insulted us, to be honest with you. But we didn't care. Like, we kind of knew inside we knew we were going to be closer thereabouts. So there was big hurt today, and I thought when we won a point down there in the second half, it really came up.
There seemed to be a real focus about your play right from the get-go, and I know you had a couple of wides earlier on and Patter fisted one into the net, and were you thinking, God, this isn't going to be your day again?
Oh yeah, you always think that at times, you're obviously nervous and that, but it was just a bit of nervousness, but we grew into the game and I thought we dominated midfield and we tried to take it from there. We Clonmacnoise are a serious, serious team, brilliant team, and we had to obviously treat them with the utmost respect, and which we did, but we had to impose our own game, and I thought probably we were going for promotion in Division 2 this year. We lost out by a point, and I think that stood to us, because every game we had in the league had been tight, so thank God we came out the other side, Ryan.
And there's more from Stephen Griffin and a few other pieces from the Victoria St Nolls camp available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. It was Stephen Griffin speaking to Ryan Ferry. And Tyrone Trulloch won a first county senior football title in 4 years as they overcame Errigal Kearn on Sunday by 2 points. They will now play the winners of the clash between Fermanagh's Derrygonley Harps and Antrim's Carrigan in the quarterfinals of the Ulster Senior Club Championship. That game, the first round tie, has been played this coming weekend. Castlerahan are double Cavan champions, they won back-to-back titles yesterday. They will play the Donegal winners, Ecuador or Niamh Connell, in the quarterfinal at the start of next month, while Kilcoo, who won the Down title yesterday for a seventh time in 8 years, will play the winners of next Sunday's Glen Mahrafelt Derry football final. We go to ladies football, and Donegal will have two teams in the Ulster finals on the last Sunday of the month. Terman and Niamh Murrah progressed to the senior and junior finals with wins on Sunday. Geraldine McLaughlin starred for Terman, scoring 1-8 over sides 1-9, beating McCartans to set up a final with old rivals Dunamoyne. Well, Niamh Murrah will play Eden Dark of Tyrone following their brilliant extra time win over Colin McGee's of Antrim at the Banks. Niamh Murrah manager Kevin White says his team had to work hard to get to a first provincial final.
A massive result, so it was. Great day yesterday for them. They'd worked very hard up into the game, put a lot of work into it, and they got over the line yesterday by 4 or 5 points into extra time. And a lot of tired legs today, I believe, a lot of injuries, so we have a lot of work to do over the next few weeks.
Yeah, there would be. You had to dig deep in extra time to get those winning scores, Kevin.
We did. We were kind of lucky now to get it extra time. I think we had a free kick, the last kick of the game, and lucky enough it went over the bar, and we went into extra time then on a bit of a lift with that, and we got a couple of good lucky scores in the first period of half time of extra time, and it kind of kept us the whole way through it.
There'll be a great atmosphere now around the club over the next couple of weeks.
Oh, it will. We had an unbelievable week here with the build up to the semi final. First time ever the club had hosted the Ulster semi final. I think it's the first time we ever had a ladies team in it, so I think this next 2 weeks now is just going to explode altogether. But hopefully the girls will keep their feet in the ground and keep focused on the job ahead.
Kevin White, the Mara Liddy's manager, looking into an Ulster final. Armagh's Charlie Vernon has announced his retirement from inter-county football after 14 years with the Orchard County. The versatile Armagh Harpsman helped his county to two Ulster titles in 2006 and 2008. The 32-year-old also won three National League titles after helping Armagh Miners to Ulster success in 2005. In cricket, next season's North West Premier League will have nine teams competing after Ballyspallan were allowed to stay up. Ballyspallan were relegated to the Championship but have been successful in their appeal on awarding a match to Glendermot at the start of September. An independent appeals board overturned the match decision and the club will play North West top level cricket next season. Ardmore won the Championship and gained promotion. They will also be playing in the Premier in 2020, and that now means six teams will be contesting the second tier. The North West Cricket Union released a statement earlier today confirming the decision. In other cricket news, Ireland warmed up for the start of the 2020 World Cup qualifiers by beating the Netherlands today. The Irish won by 30 runs in Abu Dhabi. They will face Scotland in another warm-up game tomorrow, with the qualifying tournament getting underway on the 18th. Ireland will have games against Hong Kong, the UAE, Oman, Canada, Jersey and Nigeria as they bid to make the tournament proper in Australia in late 2020. Finally, in swimming, there was success at the weekend for Woodlands National School at the Ulster Championships in Bangor. Woodlands were placed joint first, winning the cup for the overall best school with some brilliant performances. There was two goals and four silvers headed back to the school this morning, and a lot of swimmers had personal bests as well. That's it, Michaela. Next sport here in Highland tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, detectives are appealing for information after a house in the Plum Bridge area was broken into and ransacked last night. It's reported that sometime between 20 past 8 and 20 past 10, entry was gained to the property on the Landahossie Road. Detective Constable Mark says a sum of money, a quantity of jewellery and other items were taken during the incident. Inquiries are ongoing and anyone who witnessed anything suspicious in the area is asked to come forward. The Donegal Group has given a broad welcome to confirmation that €2 million has been secured in Budget 2020 for the autism plan. Health Minister Simon Harris has stated that over the next year, the additional funding secured will be used in a number of priority areas. This includes implementing a programme of awareness, raising and building capacity and competence amongst key professionals working with autism. The Autism Family Support Group Letterkenny Secretary is Eamon Kavanagh.
First and foremost, most important thing would be to have easier access to those services and reduce waiting lists to access them, so possibly more key professionals offering those services. So that would be the first and foremost most important thing that we would like to see. The other thing that would be important is more key workers to work directly with families in relation to some of the, I suppose, the everyday problems or challenges that families would face, to allow them access to strategies and that vital support and professional intervention that families and people with autism need. So that would be, you know, initially some of the key things that we would believe would be important.
Do you feel that this €2 million funding pot will go far enough? And I know that you locally have these, I suppose, things on your wish list to progress and so on. Whenever that €2 million is distributed nationally right across the country, do you feel that it will go far enough?
I suppose when it's distributed, you know, at local level, it probably won't, but it's a very good start.
Weather now mostly dry tonight, apart from a little patchy light rain or drizzle with some clear spells developing. Mist and fog patches will form in near calm conditions with lowest temperatures of 6 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a UK immigration tribunal has ruled people born in Northern Ireland are automatically British. Emma D. Souza from County Derry took legal action as an Irish citizen after her application for a residence card for her American husband was rejected in 2015. However, the UK Home Office rejected it on the grounds it considered her to be British. RD are continuing to appeal for information after a woman in her 20s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital following a crash outside Donegal Town earlier today. The single vehicle collision happened on the bypass at around 10 o'clock this morning. The Cathaoirleach of the Letterkenny Municipal District is calling for better security measures and improvements to be made to the old council site in the town. Gardaí are continuing to investigate the circumstances surrounding a weekend fire at the site located on the Pierce Road, which broke out in the early hours of yesterday morning. And there are urgent calls on the government to properly fund a regular and reliable transport service for Inishowen. As of today, a new operator has taken over most of the Inishowen to Letterkenny route after Northwest Busways announced that it was to cease its operation. However, some gaps in this service remain. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, October the 14th. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Nora Deeney, formerly Lurgenbrack Glenvar. Remains will arrive at the Star of the Sea Church, Glenvar, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Glenvar Cemetery. The death has occurred of Gerald Gallagher, Balneglack, Stranorler. Remains reposing at his home. Fiona leaving his home on Wednesday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Stranorler Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, if so desired, to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, care of any family member. Family time from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of David Mullis, Key Road, Dunloe. His remains are reposing at his home in Key Road, Dunloe. Wake underway today until 11 o'clock tonight. Removal tomorrow morning to Sir Crone's Church, Dunloe for 11 o'clock Mass with burial in Mahery Cemetery afterwards. House private from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow morning. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to Dunloe Patients Comfort Fund, care of Sean McGlynn, funeral director, or any family member. And the death has taken place of Celia Kern, Grove Cottages, Muff. Her remains are reposing at her son Aidan's residence, 7 Woodlands, Culmore, Derry. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Muff, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Donations please to the Nazareth House Fawn Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member.